Proud of You is a parenting advice podcast and support group for dads hosted by two goofy dads. They are not pediatricians, nutritionists, OBGYNs, psychologists, nor are they authorities on parenting. They're just two dinguses trying to figure it all out. Their advice should not be taken as expert information. Parenting looks different for everyone, and there's no wrong way to be a dad. Frankly, if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about it, you're already doing a great job. And these dads are proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome back to this fun stuff. As you see, I'm in a new area again. Surprise. but this isn't my main setup. We'll get there later. I am Derek Mata.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. Sorry that we missed you last week. As you can tell, Derek moved. I can say it officially now. I think we have said it on the podcast, but Derek moved.
We've made mentions, yeah.
As any dad who has moved knows, it's never as easy as you want it to be. So life happens, and we missed an episode last week, but we are back to talk to you guys once more about parenting and all the struggles, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad of being a dad.
Yes, and so this week, last week, what's today? Today's Wednesday. There was a poll on our Instagram about what topic we should talk about next, because we have our entire list that we can pick and choose, but we want, as we've said many times, is we want this to be focused on you, the listeners, the watchers. So we had a poll on Instagram, and unanimous decision, kind of with a few votes there, it was letting your kids fail. You want to kind of break that down into a more understandable, because failing is such a big topic.
It is, right? And this, so I mean, we're discussing all kinds of things on this show, and as we continue to go on, we'll probably get more granular and revisit topics. And I will put it out there now, this will probably be one that we go back and discuss again in more specific elements. But I think overall, it's a really good touchstone, letting your kids fail, because it's something that as a dad is really hard, right? As a dad, your job is to watch out for your kids. Your job is to protect your kids. And it's so easy to want to shelter them from everything, right? And just bubble wrap your kid up and make sure that nothing ever happens to them and that they never have a bad experience.
Yeah.
But part of your job as a dad is preparing them for the cold, hard world they're going to hit when they're not in your bubble wrap embrace and have to go be adults. And so part of that growth is failing, right? It's failure is the best teacher. You learn so much more from failing than you do from succeeding. And you learn about your vulnerabilities. As we get into this deeper and talk more, I'm sure it'll come up, but my daughter is almost two, and having a toddler is challenging in a lot of ways. But one of the things that I found in the last like 6 months or so is that I hadn't let my daughter fall enough. And that sounds weird, especially to non-parents.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm imagining people out here who don't have kids. They're like, what do you mean you didn't let your kid fall enough? My daughter, up until probably about 6 months ago, didn't know that if she stepped off the couch, she could get hurt. Or if she stepped off a table, she could get hurt. Because anywhere she was, if she took a leap of faith, dad was there to catch her, or mom was there to catch her. And the two of us were caring for her and loving her. And that's a good thing. But the result of it was, she thought she was indestructible. She didn't understand what boundaries were and that she could fall. And so we've started letting her in controlled ways, right? We're not letting her jump off the roof or walk into traffic, but we've started letting her walk off the couch and bonk her head and fall, you know, and she cries, and it's hard. Your kid crying is so hard, right?
Yeah.
But then the next time, she doesn't. right? And so, letting your kid fail is really hard, and there are a lot of ways, right? That is one example of something that I am currently working on being better at letting my kid fail is teaching her physical failure, right? Physical things that can hurt her. But I mean, it can go for, if you have school-age kids and they don't want to do their homework, let them not do their homework for a night and then fail an assignment and find out like, oh crap, I need to do this because I'm gonna be in sixth grade forever, or whatever the no kid left behind, that school system's basically given up on that punishment, but like, or not punishment, repercussion. But like, letting your kids understand that life has repercussions and that there are outcomes to them falling short is a really important part of growing up.
And it's funny though, because like as we've discussed, like I have kids of different ages. Like my youngest is 2. My next one is 3, and just like currently in my current household, the oldest is almost 13. So like, of course, my daughter, the youngest one, like the bubble wrap thing, like I don't want her to climb on the couch. I don't want her to do this. Like, but at the same time, like part of me knows that she has to learn, like you were saying, like that they have to learn, but like that's your baby. But then it's also like boy or dads with their girls and with their boys are 2 different ways. So like with my 3-year-old, my son, it's like you want to jump off the couch, go for it. Like I don't care, see what happens. But at the same time, when it, with both of with all 3 of the kids in my household, and they're like, well, can you help me with this, can you help me with that, it's like, well, why don't you try first? If you fail and you can't find this thing, if you can't figure out this problem, if you can't XYZ, then I will help you. But I'm not going to give my help first, because all you're going to learn is to, you're never, like you said before, you're never going to learn to look out for yourself. You're never going to learn to problem solve. And I'm a big problem solver. Like there's a solution to everything, air quotes here. And so like it all starts with being a kid, like not figuring it out.
Well, and that's a lot of people are worried to let their kids fail because they're afraid that their children will develop like a learned helplessness, right? Where if your kid tries something and fails, then they'll stop trying. Kids don't have that really. Like, I mean, it can happen, obviously, but kids by their nature are curious and ingenuitive and will come up with new ways to try things, right? So a kid is typically not going to try the same thing over and over and over again if they fail. They're going to walk off the couch and they're going to get hurt. And then they're going to try to walk off the couch in a different spot and they're going to get hurt. And then they're going to figure out, oh, well, what if I turn around and I walk off the couch backwards? Nope, that's not the answer. What if I turn around and I like scoot my feet off the couch? Oh, hey, I didn't fall that time. They're going to work through that process and figure it out. And one of the it's funny that you say like the difference with boys and girls, because I'm definitely like I'm raising a daughter and she is a daddy's girl, but man, I'm raising a rowdy girl. Like I'm raising a feral cottage child, not a not a dainty don't break a nail daughter. And it's so like I and it's this was part of the process for me, right? Is the realization that I've talked about it on the show, right? I want my daughter to be an adventurer. I want my daughter to be a rock climber. I want my daughter to live life to the fullest and have so much fun. You don't get to be that person by not trying
Yeah.
everything and not getting
Experimenting and
hurt,
living a
right?
little bit. Yeah.
Like rock climbing is a great example, and I use it all the time for a lot of things. It's a good metaphor platform. If you're not a rock climber, it's okay. A lot of rock climbing is testing and failing, right? Do I have a good hold here? Nope, that's gonna slip. Okay, let's try something else. That's a lot more sturdy. I can grab on here. Okay, I'm gonna pull myself up. Oh, still not sturdy enough. I slip back down. And it's that test and fail, test and fail. That's what being a kid is, right? It's testing and failing again and again until you figure out how not to fail. And then, hey, you're successful. Let's move on to the next thing. And I'll fuck that up until I get good at it.
And
Like,
And so you made mention, and this is going to be touchy for some people, is there's a small window, and we'll call it the participation trophy window, that for a few years every kid got that participation trophy. And I feel, this is my personal opinion, not based on factual anything, I feel like those are the same kids that don't, what's the words I'm looking for? They don't understand failure because they were never allowed to fail. Because everybody's a winner. Well, that's not true. We're as adults, we know that we in our work environment, not everybody's a winner. You do have people who are better performers, and you have people who are on the lower end of it. And so you have to look up to that other person, like, hey, I want to be there. I want to get that bigger bonus. I want to get that bigger pay raise. Like, it's not an equal playing field. And
Yes.
and I couldn't tell you what years it was, but I do know that there is just that small window of kids that just like who are just so scared of failure because they were never allowed to. And it bothers me. Like,
Yeah. Well, that still exists, right? I mean, participation trophies are still out there, and we'll touch on that because I have mixed feelings about participation trophies. I mentioned No Kid Left Behind, right? Like the whole American education system,
that was a while
no
ago.
child left behind, right? No child left behind means kids can't get held back in school. Well, if kids can't get held back in school when they fail, that means that if a kid fails first grade, they get moved to second grade anyway. And if they fail second grade, they get moved to third grade anyway. And that just keeps going until they inevitably, probably, if that kid is just failing and failing and failing, drop out of high school and enter the real world with no education, no real skills to speak. Like, you're not helping somebody by telling them, oh, it's okay. Nobody's left behind. Come on, buddy. You're just dragging them forward to more failure, right?
Yes, that I
You're
can
not
agree on.
helping somebody by not holding them back, right? Yeah, is there a stigmatism? Stigma, not stigmatism. I have glasses, sorry. Is there a stigma to being in second grade twice because your reading comprehension wasn't strong enough to move on to third grade? Yeah. Are you going to be better graduating high school at 19 instead of 18, fully understanding the information because you were held back a year? Absolutely. And I mean, we could go down a whole rabbit hole.
Yeah, we could.
We'll do an episode on education because that's one that you and I differ on a little bit, and it'll be an interesting one. But
Yeah.
just to circle back on participation trophies, I have strongly mixed feels about participation trophies because I think trying something and failing is important, right? That's the whole point of this episode. So celebrating that try, I am fully behind, right? Like, hey, way to go. You participated. Way to go. You got out there and you did it. And you didn't win. You weren't the best, but you still tried. The way that you present it is where I think it differs for me, right? Because there was a time frame and it still exists in certain places, I'm sure, and in certain, cultures. But for the greater American public, I feel like there was like a, I don't know, like 5 year window or so where like there was no winners and losers. Everybody participated.
Yeah,
We
that's what I was
didn't keep
referring to
score. We didn't
earlier.
keep track. And like that's very different to me because success should be celebrated. Like when you do something and you succeed at it, that should be awesome. That should be like, yeah, you get a trophy, you get, Gatorade dumped on you get this big, exciting whatever. Like it's a celebration of how well you did at the thing that you tried. And that's not to say that people who try and fail should be punished or, looked down on. Their attempt should be celebrated, but not to the same degree as success. And again, this is all, we're not experts. This is our personal opinions. I'm saying how I feel about parenting. Every time my daughter tries something and fucks up, I still pat her on the back and say, "Oh, that's cool. Let's try it again. Like you did a really good job. You were so brave trying that. Do you want to give it another shot and see if maybe we can do it differently this time?"
And see, I think that,
until she
like,
gets to that point where she has done it correctly, and then it's, hey, great job. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. You figured it out. You persevered through all of those times that you weren't able to successfully do this, and now you did. You did it. Congratulations. You're so great.
yeah, see, so you and I are actually on the same page on that, because, like, there is, like you said, there's hey, let's try something different, let's try it again. As the saying goes, get back on that horse. But what I was originally referring to is, like, hey, you showed up, here's you a trophy. Oh, you showed up. Like, I'm not gonna get any better if you hand me a trophy for showing up. But, like, you tell me, like, hey, next year that first place trophy is ours. Like, next year that tournament winnings, whatever, is ours. And that's gonna push me. But if I'm like, if they're getting what I'm getting and they won and I didn't, what's gonna keep pushing me? Because, like, their success is as good as my failure. So why achieve even more when my failure is just good enough for everybody else?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, there's a how do I say this delicately? There's a certain demographic who really despises participation trophies, and I don't fall into that category. I think that there is value in the idea of rewarding participation. But I think it should be a separate tier from you participated. Congratulations, you're here, versus you showed up, you put in the work and you won. Awesome. Great job, right? Like, I mean, and we do this in so many other ways, right? Like, you graduate high school or college, everybody who graduated gets a diploma, but your honor students get cords, your valedictorians get medals, like you get different levels of accolades. Everybody was there, everybody put in the work to succeed, and just succeeding, right? Graduating high school, graduating college is an arduous task that you put in the time and effort to do and be successful at. That in and of itself deserves to be celebrated. But the guy who did it and got a 4.0 or higher through all of that and really worked and toiled to be the absolute best should get to give a speech, should get an
Yeah, I mean, that's,
extra medal and identification on top of that diploma that everybody else is getting for just doing the work.
that is fair. That's a good analogy. I mean, to kind of jump on that, but the people who just showed up to class aren't getting that diploma. You still had to put in that work to get that diploma. So still not everybody is getting it for showing up.
Yeah,
But
that's
like,
true.
I still like the analogy, because, yeah, you're right. Everybody's getting it, but those who work harder are just getting a little bit more recognition.
So, and I guess maybe it's a matter of semantics and the way that I'm viewing the term participation, because to me, participation means trying, right? You participated. You didn't just show up. You were part of it. It's right there in the name, part. You were part of the
Yeah.
project. You were part of the game. And I think you're right. I'm not dismissing what you're saying, because a lot of participation trophies are you joined the team, congratulations. Where I am, you played the game to the best of your abilities and you tried. Like I don't support showing up medals, but I do
Yeah.
support trying, like congratulating and appreciating effort, right?
Yeah, so just pretty much recognition more than a physical item. Like,
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if participation trophies were an actual physical thing, but, like, because social media
A lot of them
will
were.
show you only what it wants to. But like, yeah, tell me what I'm doing good. Tell me that, hey, why y'all didn't win. Like I said, next time you got this. Next year, it's yours. Let's keep trying. Let's do that. Like, you did a great job. Like, I'm all for participation recognition.
No, absolutely. As somebody with some older kids, right? I mean, a lot of my failures that I'm allowing Alana to have right now are purely physical, right? Learning physical boundaries where she's going to get hurt, learning how to fall and catch herself, learning what not to fall off of because it's dangerous, learning to trust her feet, that kind of stuff. learning to try new foods, which I guess that kind of breaches into what I'm about to ask you, which is, as your kids get older, how have you seen that develop and change, right? Like what is your, 12-year-old trying now? Because obviously you don't have to worry about Lucas falling off a couch, right? I mean, and for the most part, you don't have to worry about Lucas falling off a couch and breaking his skull open. Let's put it that way.
He's at that age, preteens, teenagers, that it's having him just you made mention of like schoolwork, letting him realize that he is responsible for his own success. Nobody, and this is going to sound wrong, and I apologize, honey, when you watch this and you say that's wrong. Nobody is looking out for him but him. He is responsible for all his own things. And just allowing him to see that. Like we can harp on him all day long. Hey, you got to make sure that your school's done, your homework checked in, you have to hit submit on schoolwork now. You don't turn in paper copies of things anymore. God, so that's been a struggle. But it's loosening up the boundaries pretty much, and just saying, you we have shown you the way, we have written the instructions down, we have told you how things work. Go do these things, Hey, here's a list of tasks for you. Because I obviously we're not opening the door like go be free in the world and come back when the street lights come on. Like, no, here's a list of tasks and let's see what happens. Like there are rewards for success, and there's not discipline per se, but like there's discussions to be had if those things aren't met, he kids don't try new foods. So like I can't say like, hey Lucas, why don't you try this new food? Like, oh, that looks disgusting. So right now it's just like letting him see that he is responsible for his own actions. But not letting it get to the point that he feels like we're not here for him, even though every teenager feels like mom and dad are stupid and only want you to fail and don't know how to have fun and all that shit. Let me tell you, there's been a lot of heated discussions lately.
Let
but
me
it,
just chime in here for April. So, Derek's honey, if you're watching this later and saying no, Goody is still wrong, I apologize. But when you say that, nobody is watching out for him, what you're doing is like you're still reminding him, hey, you've got that assignment that's due. Have you done your homework? You need to do your homework before you
yes.
go play Rocket League or whatever. And if he comes to you and says, hey, I'm having a hard time with this assignment, can you help me out? You and April are still there to help him, but you're not going to do his homework for him. You're not going to sit him down at a table and sit over his shoulder and say, okay, math time, or over a laptop, whatever, modern school. But like,
Exactly. And we say, and
it's
so kind of.
giving him the freedom to fail, of saying, hey, I'm not gonna do this for you, but fucking do it.
Yeah, so it's like I mentioned earlier, like show me that you attempted this first. Like I can tell you so many times. I can talk until I'm blue in the face. But I want to see you have tried it. And then I will help where I can. If I cannot, I'll do what I'll find something or someone who can help. And it's gotten to the point, like if he's missing assignments, like actual things that happened last year, what are they? This is the second semester of school. So you don't
I
know,
would
your
have no
kid's
way
not
of
in
knowing.
school. So this is a, so right before we moved, we wanted to make sure that his grades were where were good, passing a minimum of 80, because we know what he's capable of, and we know if we set the bar too low, then he, as kids are gonna hit the bar and nothing else. So like 80 is a good middle ground for his intelligence level. To the point that like April will reach out to the teacher, like, what does he need to do to get his grades back up? Not her responsibility, but she doesn't want him to fail. So then when she's like, hey, I talked to your teachers, this is what you need to do to make sure that your grade, isn't failing, because he did have a few failing grades, assuming failing is still a 69 and below. I don't know anymore.
Yeah. No kid left behind, man. Can't fail too hard.
I didn't see, I didn't know that was still a thing. I thought that was a George W. Bush thing, and they kind of like out the window when he left office. But
Clearly my almost 2-year-old is not in the public education system and probably never will be. Yeah.
it's so we're like, hey, this is what you need to do, and he still doesn't do it. And we're like, kid, we can't walk with you, we can't hold your hand every step of the way in life. Like, you have to realize that if you're not willing to do the work, you're gonna have to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, and I feel like when we were kids, and again, this is so off the wall because I don't have a school age child who is in the public education system. So this is a little bit out of pocket. I'm basing this off of what I see in media and online and secondhand information. But I feel like when we were kids, those stakes were a little bit higher, right? Where like, if you had a failing grade in school, you were going to summer school, and those 2 3 months that were going to be all yours of riding your bike and playing with your friends and having fun, now you're in school all summer, or you're going to do it again and your friends are going to go on and you're going to be back in whatever grade you're in now one more again until you figure it out and do the work. Now I feel like I feel like as a society, we've stopped letting people fail because we're afraid that they'll feel bad about it. And maybe that's a controversial opinion. I don't know what's controversial anymore, but it seems to me like we've stopped letting people experience hardship, which in the grand humanitarian sense of things sounds like a good idea until you realize that that's not actually helping them in the long run.
Yeah, and like everybody wants to look in the, like you said, like see the here and now, but like the here and now, this small reward for a bigger loss later on. And back to the higher stakes when we were kids, like summer school kids were those weird kids,
Yeah.
and then you didn't want your friends to move on without you, so like you pushed and you did everything that you could, and it's like kids don't care anymore, and I don't know where the disconnect is. Like, is it because like us as parents, because obviously we are the parents, as weird as that sounds, like we are the parents of these kids that don't care anymore. So like, are we doing
Yeah.
something wrong? Like, I don't know, because I feel like I'm doing my best. Maybe I feel like I'm doing okay. I don't want to say my best, because that makes it seem like I'm doing a terrible job. And like, I don't know, like, where is that disconnect between our generation? I don't even know generations anymore. Our generation and the generation we're raising.
Yeah. Well, before we go down this rabbit hole and sound too much like two old men sitting on their front porch of their rocking chairs complaining about kids these
We
days,
have already established that I'm a boomer,
it's true. It's true. Not by birth year, but by existence. Yeah. How do you overcome this? And it's something that I'm still working on, right? I said full force, like this is a topic today because it is something I'm working on getting better at, right? I want to let my daughter fail more. I want her to experience more failure so that she can learn more than I'm going to teach her by protecting her. And I think there are a lot of ways that we can approach it. And I'm curious what your opinion here is. And also you, our listeners, please let me know, comment, email us, hit us up on social media. Tell me how to help my kid fail without crippling me because, man, it's hard.
With having only one, yeah, it's definitely more difficult. But like, once you have a couple, you're like, ah, it's the normal.
That honestly, it's good to know. Experience, practice makes better, right? Like the more you do it, I'm sure you get more comfortable at it, and you recognize it, right? So like that's part of the thing that I'm kicking myself now, where I'm like, oh man, like my daughter's almost 2 years old and I haven't let her fall enough. Where like my next kid, like, 6 months, I'm shoving him off the couch. Like, I'm
Get
not.
out of here. No, I know it's a
Emily,
joke,
if you're listening, I'm kidding.
but
But like, yeah, the more you do anything, the better you get at it. I'm sure kid number two, I will hopefully I will have retained some of the information that I got here. Not that any of it's applicable, right? Like that's the thing that I've heard from a lot of people with multiple kids, that like it's the most challenging thing about parenting is that you spend all of your time becoming an expert in how to raise a child. And that skill set is applicable to absolutely nothing, because no child is the same. They're all different. They're all like, you learned how to raise that kid, and congrats, you'll never have to do that again because they're already raised. Like,
No, that's damn, that's yeah, it's true.
but the thing that I'm really trying to lean into, again, I'm trying to raise, and this is going to be different for everybody, right? Because there's no wrong way to be a dad. Everybody has different parenting philosophies. Everybody has different life philosophies. I am raising a feral adventurer, and I'm like, I will stand by that. Like, I want my daughter to be adventurous. I want her to have fun. I want her to be an explorer. And with that, what I've started doing with leaning into is still, because I can't take the gloves all the way off, right? Like, she's still my daughter, and I'm still going to try to hold her and protect her and love her as much as I can, because that's my job. But by pushing her to try more things on her own, a lot of it has just been watching my language, right? I'm trying really hard. I would love to say that I've gotten rid of it in my vocabulary, but it's still something that comes naturally to me that I'm trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
I am trying really hard to not ever tell my daughter to be careful,
Oof.
because there are better ways to say that, right? If she's walking, I keep using falling off the couch as the example because I have a 2-year-old and I have a couch. But like,
What?
if she's at the edge of something, if she's at the edge of the couch, or whether it's like, every playground for no apparent reason has like a drop-off section where like there should be a ladder, but there's not, and it just ends. Not sure why that is, but literally everyone, like, your kid can climb these stairs and then there's just a drop-off, which usually there's like a rock wall or like a fireman pole or something, but I have a 2-year-old. She's not using any of those things. She's walking
Yeah.
off of it. Instead of saying, oh, be careful, I'll say, hey, how do your feet feel? Or like, does that edge feel steady? Letting her know, hey, check in, right? Do that, kind of like, hey, buddy, you've got homework that's due on Monday. Have you done it? Right? Instead of, hey, do your homework, right? Like, it's just adjusting that verbiage. So it's, hey, you should check where your feet are. How are your feet feeling? Is that secure? She loves it. She's in a really big climbing phase right now, and so everything that can get her taller is the best. We have like a Pickler triangle and ladders and step stools, and all of those very secure things that she can climb and get taller are great. And she also likes to like flip a Tupperware upside down and stand on it, and that's much less secure for her to stand on. And so instead of saying, hey, be careful, that could slip, I say, does that feel like a good thing to stand on? Does that feel secure for you when you're standing on that? And I'm trying to use those reinforcing words to help her find, oh shit, I shouldn't do this, on her own.
It's funny though, because like you've met my two youngest. Like if you ask him that, yup.
No.
All
Noah
right.
specifically, man, he's your boy's got no fear.
No, he does not. Like that, like I said, like if he wants to jump off the bed, like I'm like, go for it. Like you will figure it
Yeah, we've got medical insurance, it's fine.
out. But it's and you know, and I'm looking at my children and I'm looking at myself. And I don't know if I mentioned it before in past podcasts. Like I was raised in a very sheltered household. So like I was not raised to fear. I was raised to fear everything. So I don't want that for my children. You know, and the example that I use all the time is riding a bike and riding a motorcycle. Two things very similar because, you know, you're on the two wheels and it's kind of based on how your body moves. I didn't learn to ride a bike until I was, what, 18 years old. So I never learned that fear of you're going to fall down, you're going to be okay. So riding a bike, can I? Yeah, I can. It scares the shit out of me. Riding my motorcycle, yeah, my wife doesn't want me to have one, but I've owned a lot of them and I've dropped one, but they still scare the shit out of me because I don't have that healthy fear because I was never taught that falling down and failure is okay. And I don't want my kids to grow up the same way I grew up, you know, kind of way.
I was having a conversation with a friend recently about the idea of falling as an adult, and I have a new life philosophy that's gonna upset some people. Fall every day. Keep falling down. 'Cause here's the
Nope.
thing. Don't this podcast does not constitute medical advice or professional legal advice of any kind. The proud of you dads are not responsible for anything that may happen to you. Look at your life, right? When you're a kid, when you're like my 2-year-old daughter falls every day. She falls constantly. She falls down, whether it's from standing to sitting, falling down on a soft, cushy, beanbag chair, or walking off a 4-foot precipice at the park because some playground engineer thought that was a great idea. She falls multiple times every day. And the big ones elicit a little bit of a cry. But most of the time, fall down, sit up, dust it off. She's doing this thing right now that's adorable. I'm gonna brag on my daughter a little bit where like she'll trip. She's super into cars. We talked about this on our Pixar episode. It's her favorite thing in the world. She doesn't fall anymore, she crashes. So she'll like trip over her foot and say, Dada had a crash, and just put up her hand and say, hand. And she can get up on her own, but she wants you to just hold her hand while she gets up on her own. Anyway. She falls constantly and it doesn't really affect her much. As kids get older, they start catching themselves when they're falling and then they start being more careful and you start falling less and less. And now, as a 940-year-old, I mean, as a 32-year-old man, if I fall down, it sucks because I haven't fallen in so many days.
So
It's a
many
bad
days.
time. So many
When was the
days, so
last
many
time you
weeks,
fell?
months, years. I don't have
Oh,
a days since last injury counter in my office, Derek. I don't know. Honestly, since I adapted this new philosophy, I've intentionally fallen almost every day. But the thing is, like, it jars your joints and it hurts you because you haven't fallen. So, like, this, I'm going on a wild tangent here, but I promise it tracks back. We're talking about letting your kids fail, right? And part of being a dad is showing them. Right, doing and not saying, showing them with your actions and not just your words. Like, fail. Talk to your kids about your failure. Talk to your kids about the things that you tried and worked well. Talk to your things about the things that you tried and didn't work at all. And with that, fall more. Like, genuinely, physically, I think it'll be better for your body. I will check back in a year when I'm just a crippled old man at 33. But repetition, the familiarity makes things easier. And so, when we stop falling as adults, when we start being too careful and stop falling down, when we fall, it hurts more. When we fail, it's more challenging for us to deal with. And that lesson is applicable whether you're 33 or 3. Let your kid fail and let yourself fail, because if you're not failing, you're not trying. Frankly, that's what it really comes down to is do more stuff because you're gonna fail.
Yeah. I like to fail because then I'm like, I can do this better next time, or I'm not good at this.
Yeah, well, and that's a big thing for kids too, right? I mean, we talked about foods and whether it's a picky eater thing or I'm a preteen and my dad doesn't know what good food is thing.
I
Like,
know the best food.
a lot of kids don't want to try new foods. My daughter tries new foods all the time because every time we eat anything, I offer her some, and I just keep doing that. And sometimes she says no, and that's fine. But most of the time, because she has tried stuff, and overall, there are some ups and downs, but overall, she likes most good food. And we keep offering her good food, and she keeps enjoying it and finding out new things that she likes, and she loves that. And then every once in a while, she'll eat, I don't know, broccoli or something. My kid doesn't really, she doesn't not like anything in particular. She pretty much likes food, just like me. Just very unpicky. But like by continuing to offer that to her, by continuing to let her try new things, she is more inclined to try more things. And that goes for failure too, right? By continuing to try and fail, you'll still build that habit of just trying to do the thing anyway.
Yep, exactly. So I'm sitting here and I'm pondering, like, what do I need to let my kids fail at more? Like, am I too protective as a dad?
Yeah, honestly, it's a great question. I think this is I'm gonna go back to throw another tally on the board, talk to your wife. I think this is a great discussion topic to have as a couple, because I'm sure there are things that I am sheltering my daughter from that my wife is not sheltering her from. And I'm sure there are things that she is like we have discovered this, that like there are things that Emily has not let Alana do that Alana and I do every day before Emily wakes up, or vice versa. Like, obviously I'm not taking her every morning. Like, there are a lot of times where Emily wakes up before me and the two of them do wild shit that I would never let Alana do. Like, have those conversations and talk about it because you might be, a lot of it comes back to our fear, right? Like, we're scared that they're going to get hurt. And so we're not letting our kids try things that we are scared of them failing at. There's a good chance your wife has already done it with your kid. Like
Yeah,
that thing that
no,
you're
that's.
afraid to let them try. And again, vice versa, right? Like, dads, stereotypically speaking, dads are the ones who, throw their kids in the air and are much more cavalier with things. So your wife might be scared to roughhouse with your kid in certain ways that you've been doing for, years now. Talk to your wife.
Your significant other. You're the
Your
mother of
significant
your
other. Your
child.
partner. And also, if you're a single dad, rock on. Like, talk to yourself, check in.
Or talk to other dads, which is the whole point of this podcast, is creating that community of dads. Because you might be killing it. Let us know, like, how we can be killing it too. Or you can be second guessing yourself, and honestly, you're probably doing a lot better than some of us are. Check in with us. We mention our socials on every single episode. Not our socials, our social media is like, I'm not telling my social. I mean, it's still my identity. That's fine. It's shit anyways. Reach out to us, send us an email, tweet, Instagram, like whatever anybody uses a day these days. I don't know. Just check in with each other. It doesn't have to be on our social media pages. Just check in with your fellow dad you work next to, the guy at the grocery store who bags your groceries every week. Just like, ask him how he's doing. Pick up some
Yeah.
advice, give some advice, and we're nobody's perfect. I can tell you that not a single one of us is perfect.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, Derek asked the question. I'll throw it up as an Instagram poll and probably tag it on here as our Spotify poll of the week. What are we sheltering our kids from that we don't think about, right? How have you let your kids fail that surprised you or that you realized? What was your aha moment, right? Because I had that with my kid where I was like, oh man, like I need to let my kid fall more because she thinks she's immortal. Like what thing hit you that hasn't hit me yet, that Derek hasn't figured out yet, that we don't know. Because I'm sure some of you have had these experiences where you were like, oh, I sheltered my kid too much from this and I didn't even realize it. And at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. We're all gonna shelter our kids too much from certain things and not enough from others, and we're never gonna
Yep.
know it until it's too late. And that's okay, because your kid's still gonna end up being a great kid because you're a great dad. At the end of the day, all you can do is your best, and we're proud of you for it.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us this week. This topic was kind of all over the place, and I love it for it. We'll get more granular and more specific. And if you want to hear more about this, please let us know. If you want us to never talk about this topic again and talk about something else, let us know that too. We want the good and the bad, just like we talk about in parenting. I know every podcast, every YouTube channel in the world says it, but please share this as much as you can. We're here to reach as many dads as we can and help as many dads feel seen and create a community of guys who are trying to figure it out just like we are. So, if you can like this, share it. If you're if you have a YouTube page or a Spotify subscription, subscribe to us. Share this with your friends. Comments always help boost us in the algorithm. Even if you just say hi, it really does help out to tell YouTube that people are actually watching this and want to hear what these two dumb idiots have to say about parenting.
Or even just let us know what you want to hear next. Like,
Yeah.
hey, great topic. Hey, next, I'm going through this. Excuse me, can y'all talk about this? We want to create the episodes that you want, not the episodes that we want to create.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you ever see, like, Derek mentioned at the beginning, this topic was the result of an Instagram poll. I threw up three of our topics at random off of our document that we have of a million and one parenting topics to discuss. And we let y'all decide what we talked about. If you ever see one of those polls and there are three or four options and none of them sound interesting to you, message us and say, hey, all of your ideas are dumb, but I want to hear you talk about this thing. We like I will never take it personally if you don't want to hear about the topics that we post. We want to talk about the things that you are struggling with as a dad, the things that you are curious about as a dad. So please let us know, and we'll keep talking. That's a promise.
At least you will.
Shutting me up is the hard part. Well, thank you so much. Until next week, I'm Andrew Goody.
And I'm Derek Mata.
And we are proud of you.